We are in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, very early in Jesus' ministry. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. We would see Jesus in the scripture story. Open our ears, God, and open our hearts. Take every barrier to your Spirit's teaching. Give us your word, God, and pour out your truth. Amen. What are you seeking today? All of us came here looking for something. Perhaps we find ourselves with John the Baptist. We know the word of God. We came for more, to be convicted, to grow, to repent, to be cleansed, to be refilled with God's presence and the presence of other believers, to see and know the Messiah. Or maybe we came because we want that to be us. Maybe we find ourselves with John the Baptist's disciples. We already love God enough to be here, and we're looking for a compelling way of life in God. We want the kind of purpose and meaning that only God can provide, and we're still looking. We heard Jesus call, "Come and see," so we are. Or maybe like Andrew, we brought someone else to come and see Jesus. We have found life and love and community here, and we want that for their lives as well. Many of us may identify with Simon Peter, at one time or now, dragged here by somebody else. Open enough to come and see. Simon Peter is often that guy in the gospel stories who says out loud the quiet part or what everybody else is thinking, the guy who sometimes has to apologize for just kind of getting it messed up. And so many of us, we identify with that. But maybe also we feel guilty or ashamed about some parts of our lives or what we've done, and we wonder, can we leave it behind us? Can we have a new life? Maybe to the point of like having a new name? Or maybe we don't feel bad, but just restless. Maybe we're looking for a new purpose, something to give meaning to life beyond the day in and day out and day in and day out, some kind of purpose to it. Perhaps like Philip, we've known the blessings of community. We come back for the community called together by the Holy Spirit, a place where we can deeply know other people and be known ourselves. And even in that knowing, care and be cared about. Love and be loved. I would guess that a lot of people today identify with Nathaniel more than we might want to admit, because he doesn't sound real great when he first meets Jesus. But underneath that, we might be people who want to know and love God, to give ourselves to Christ, to become part of the beloved community, to help transform the world. But we're skeptical at this point that any of that can happen. I've lived places where others ask, can anything good come out of? So I hear the disdain that we have for others in that question, but with a twist of the kaleidoscope, I also hear hopelessness. Can anything good come out of 2023? And it's that weird emotional place where we want things to be better, but hoping hurts too much, so we shut that down and live in cynicism instead. But at the same time, we're still looking, still hoping for a sign that things can get better. What are you seeking? Maybe what you're seeking doesn't line up with any of the characters in today's story, and that's okay. Maybe you're here because you think God is angry with you and you hope coming and confessing will placate God. Maybe you've been let down by people or by life and you're desperately seeking one who won't let you down. Perhaps you were raised to believe that you have to go to church to please God, or you're here to please your mother. Or you feel like good Christians come to church to earn points with God to go to heaven. Maybe you know you're a sinner, and/or other people have told you you're a sinner. And if sinners want a hope of heaven, they have to go to church. Maybe you are trying hard to do what you think you should. And so you're exhausted, stressed, fragmented, disconnected, anxious, dissatisfied with quick answers and God substitutes. And this is the only hour of the week when you can sit and soak in the presence of God. The only time when you get to take deep breaths and be with people who are glad to see you. Perhaps none of those line up with why you're here either, because what we are seeking is on some level as individual as each one of us. But all of these things that I just mentioned are what Reverend Dr. James Bryan Smith calls false narratives in the church-wide study that we begin today, The Good and Beautiful God. He thinks that a lot of the stories that we tell ourselves and each other about God keep us from truly finding God and or truly experiencing God's transforming love. My guess is that we are all praying for someone we love dearly who has either turned their back on God or refused to ever come because their story of God is angry and aloof and judgmental and uncaring. And maybe that someone could even be us. Perhaps the saddest part of these stories about God is that they aren't the stories that Jesus tells. They don't reflect the God that Jesus knows. The God Jesus knows is good and beautiful and loves us deeply and wants goodness and beauty in us and in our lives. And so for the next several weeks, each week we'll be looking at one of the false narratives and then holding it up to what it is that Jesus actually says. Now, navigating the demands of modern life are such that we may feel like we don't have time or energy to really examine what our narratives are, let alone decipher Jesus's. Because if we're honest, like some days we read the Bible and think, Jesus, you could have been a little clearer. Am I right? So we may feel like I don't even have tools in my Christian toolbox to even know where to start. So if you are reading the book on your own or in a small group, each week we'll have a soul training exercise to help with that. And we do still have copies of the book in the lobby when you head out if you haven't grabbed one yet. Now, I need to say that I do not agree with everything that James Brian Smith says. And I imagine that some of you don't agree with everything I say, but held together by the Holy Spirit and enough common beliefs, we can explore those. We can test those within the body of Christ, in our small groups and in conversation and in prayer. So I hope that you'll explore in your small groups any differences you have with what he writes. We're using his book anyway, because it is such a good invitation to come and see Jesus. And as his tagline puts it, fall in love with the God Jesus knows. Come and see. When Jesus asked John's disciples, "What are you looking for?" the literal translations of their response ought to be puzzling to 21st century Christians. Now, sometimes we get real familiar with the Bible story and we just sort of gloss over it. But just imagine this. If you leave here, you walk into a store and a salesperson says, "What are you looking for today?" What happens if you respond by saying, "Where do you live?" That, where is that secret emergency security button? So, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" means more, "Respected teacher, how do you live your life with God? Can we watch? Will you teach us if we decide we want to live life like you do?" I love Jesus' response. Come and see. Come and see. It's not go away and come back when you've done a little reading on your own. Go away and come back when you've cleaned up your act. Go away and come back when you quit smoking, when you've lost those 10 pounds. Go away and come back when, insert your excuse here. He doesn't say go away and come back. He says come and see. And it's not a demand for a snap decision. He doesn't say, "Are you in or are you out? Hurry up, this offer expires in 20 seconds, so make a panic decision you don't have time to think through." No, come and see. He doesn't go through a checklist. Were you baptized? Did you get your third grade Bible? Can you still find your third grade Bible? Have you been confirmed? Have you been giving lately? How many Sundays were you in church the last year? There's no checklist there. There's no tryouts. Well, why don't you just offer a prayer on the spot and we'll see if you're good enough. And there's no checking, well, let me see if I've got a slot available. Looks like maybe in 6 months. No, come and see. And in part, come is a command. Come. If you want to know, you have to come. But it's also an invitation, because Jesus is the incarnation of the good and beautiful God who is always reaching out to us, always opening a door, even steadily beside us if we try to run away. Jesus is the incarnation of the God whose love has got the whole world in his hands. He's the incarnation of the Father whose house has many rooms. And later on in this gospel, he's going to say, "I go prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself." Now, when I say come to my dog, it's a command. She's a puppy and eventually she'll learn. But when I say come to my friends, it's an invitation. Come and be part of life together. What did Jesus say we are? He said, I have called you friends. Now, in English, C is an itty-bitty word with only three letters, but in this passage, I think it has three big, huge meanings. C means experience God's goodness for yourself. At Vacation Bible School, we always tell the kids, watch for God. What were your God sightings since we were together? See, experience for yourselves how good God is. See also means take your time. Jesus is so convinced by how compelling God's love and kingdom are that he doesn't need to force you into something you're not ready for and don't fully believe. He's not the buy, sell, trade stranger who's anxious to leave before you discover that the kayak they're selling you is cracked. He's more like the parent who says, you can always come home. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. From 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. As hard as the consequences sometimes are, God gives us the free choice to accept and return God's love. Because if it's not a choice that we made freely, it's not a full love. And Jesus wants us to see divine love and see that life can be lived differently and see that it is our choice and see how much God wants us to make that choice to join in the divine dance of love. What are you seeking? Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. What are you seeking? Come and see with Jesus. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your Holy Spirit that knows the hearts of each and every person here. For you are a great big God of the whole universe, and yet you are able to attend to the individual needs of each person when they come seeking you. And so we pray that we would be able to open our hearts to you, to confess to you what it is that we're seeking, to be vulnerable, and trust that you will provide for that need. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and thank you for always inviting us as many times as it takes to come and know your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.